Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
And it is a Texans ticket Tuesday, baby. In the 5 o'clock hour, we'll be giving away a pair of Texans tickets. And you might want to dial in. You might want to tune in. You're definitely going to want to call in when Ron gives you that old cue to call. And you might want to call your mom and them, your friends and them, and make sure that they're listening as well. Better your chances of winning if you got more ears on the radio and you got more hands on the phone, if you know what I mean. So Texans ticket Tuesday. Make sure you stay dialed in because today is Tuesday. Today is absolutely Tuesday. The other thing, real quick, tomorrow, 2 to 6 p.m., we will be at Pitch 25 in Edo for a live broadcast. Got a little day baseball, Astros day baseball, and we are going to be knee-deep in Edo at Pitch 25 during that game and probably for a couple of hours afterwards. 2 to 6, come hang out with us, and it's going to be a good time. I'm getting word Sagamore Rye Whiskey is going to be there. And there's going to be some little tastings going on. And we're going to have a couple of giveaways, boys. I just got word. A couple of $50 Specs gift cards to give away.
How about that?
The good news is coming in as we speak, man. $50 Specs gift cards tomorrow. Two of them will be given away along with that Sagamore Rye Whiskey. And of course, good times at Pitch 25. Tyler's been there. I think that's the place where Tyler passed out on a crapper.
I didn't do that.
I think that's where Tyler passed out on the crapper, woke up, walked out. The place was closed, locked up, had to find somebody to give him.
I do frequent there, though. It's a great establishment.
Oh, that's not where that happened?
That never happened, first of all, but you accused me of it happening in McIntyre's.
Well done. All right, I got a little something for you. I don't want to get too far away from this game Sunday and still be talking about Laremy Tunsil. But Laremy Tunsil has lit the fan base on fire in a negative way. And we're talking about Laremy Tunsil has had 10 penalties in three games, all of which are pre-snap penalties, formation penalties, or false starts.
Hello.
The team as a whole has had 23 penalties in the last two games for over 200 yards of lost yardage there. If you look at Laremy Tunsil, he killed three of the first five drives this week against Minnesota on the road. Literally took two first down conversions off the board. And we're talking in drives in the first five drives of this football game. You want to know how it got to 14-0? You want to know how it got out of reach pretty quickly? Is you had these types of issues going on. And the headliner for the Houston Texans in the penalty department is definitely Laremy Tunsil. So a lot of frustrated people out there. Would you rather, fellas, I need you to play along here. Tyler, I need you to play along. Would you rather Laremy Tunsil have been benched, and C.J. Stroud get sacked four more times because you're playing a backup tackle, rookie tackle? Or would you rather leave Laremy Tunsil in the game and get two to three more illegal formation false start penalties that kill drive? 713-572-4610. Text in if you're on Twitch and you're on in your own YouTube. Go ahead and get involved.
Give the people that one more time.
Would you rather? 713-572-4610. Oh, the question.
Give it to them one more time.
Well, here's the would you rather. Would you rather Laremy Tunsil have been benched in that game and C.J. Stroud get sacked four or five several more times because you've got a backup rookie tackle in there? Or would you have rather seen them do what they did? Leave him in there and him get more illegal or false start penalties.
That's a good one. That's
the question,
tough.
How pissed off are you at Laremy Tunsil? Would you have benched the highest paid player on the Houston Texans team?
I'm pretty pissed off.
And created that monster, or would you have just said, nah, that's Laremy, man. I got to let that ride.
Well, the thing is, he is so good when he's not starting too soon. Tunsil is top tier when he's not making those stupid ass mistakes, and I care very much about the health of CJ Stroud. That's my biggest thing. I think I gotta start him.
You're leaving him in there.
Leaving him in there just purely based off he makes the health of Stroud, I think, in a better spot.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
I'm not about seeing CJ get hit four more times. I'm good on that.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is the big thing. I would trade, or I would accept the as frustrating as they are, the false starts or the not lined up well enough, then who was it, our man Michael Dieter just letting people just run around him with quickness. People are texting in, bench his ass. I would rather leave Tunzel in. I treat him like Petrie benching.
CJ's too important, man.
I'll be honest with you guys. I'm really struggling here with the...
I got to find another way to teach him a lesson that don't involve somebody else.
Well, it's not going to be having him run laps at practice like everybody else did. So it's going to have to be extreme, right?
He'd have to practice.
I'm
going to
tell you, I think I would, in a game like that where you didn't have a chance to win that game anyway, I think I would have liked to have seen him in that third quarter benching.
You'd have been CJ too then.
Well, I would not have been CJ. I would have moved Titus Howard to left tackle because Titus has clearly made it a point like, hey, if you throw a flag on me, I'll gladly move up on the line to not kill another drive. And I'd have brought Blake Fisher in at right tackle. That's just the knee-jerk, hothead Clint response is, at some point in time, I'll be honest with you, as a quarterback, especially in that moment, I don't know how CJ Stroud didn't say something. I don't know how C.J. Stroud wasn't extremely animated and didn't say something to Laramie Tunsil about killing drives. I don't know how there wasn't something on the TV copy that said, boy, C.J. ain't happy with this. That's the next step C.J.'s going to have to take, by the way. I'm not saying he needs to bench his left tackle, but that's the next step that C.J.'s going to have to take. I believe I would have liked to see D'Amico Ryans bench him in the third quarter.
Because I'm going to tell you what, like, when you speak about the C.J. thing, C.J., if you go look back at it, CJ reacted when the defense didn't get a stop on third and one in the third quarter.
Good point.
CJ had just thrown a pick. If you go back at it, CJ had just thrown that pick where, like we said, he tried to force it in, and it was a third and one, and Aaron Jones got a run off the edge. And CJ reacted in a way that you think he should have reacted that way four or five times to Laramie Tunsil. As many times it happened.
Yeah.
So it's definitely there because he threw his hands up.
Yeah.
And come on, something I couldn't completely read his lips, but he was feeling some kind of way about the defense not getting that stop after he had just thrown that pick.
Yeah, I'll be the one in the room. I would have liked to have seen Laramie Tunsil bench. Now, the calmer side is, like, we know that D'Amico's not going to bench the highest paid player in the game. We on the Texans, we know that he's not going to do that. But it does bring me to this, guys. Like, at some point, the nice guy stuff from C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans gotta be shelved, right? As it pertains to this issue, at some point in time, those two guys have to shelf the nice guy. Like D'Amico and C.J. Stroud have to show some level of frustration in the moment, in press conference. Like, at some point in time, they've got to shelve the, oh, we're just going to protect our guys and say the right thing and tell everybody how thankful we are to take the field with these guys every day. Like, at some point in this game here, if there's a couple in the first half, what do you do? I mean, if he has a couple of alignment issues in the first half, after the head coach has come to the media and said, no, Laramie Tunsil knows where to line up, we'll fix these problems, and they're all pre-snap issues, they're all very fixable, what do you do? And I'm not asking you to answer the question in terms of, like, what do you do in the moment, but, like, at some point, these guys are going to have to drop the nice guy act, right?
I mean, yeah, you can drop the nice guy act. You can. But he's still going to play.
So your response is, like, it don't matter what, Laramie's untouchable.
For me, I'm thinking he is, for him over there, for me to have to swing Titus over to right tackle and put the rookie Blake Fisher in.
That's right, the move. That would be the move,
Or leave or put Blake at left tackle with CJ and we're trying to win and he's my highest paid player on the team. That one would be hard.
I think that's probably the fear of most Texans.
Because you also got, and this is something that people who manage people have to deal with. You got to understand the type of people you're dealing with, and you
signed up for that already, right?
Well, not just signed up, but you could completely lose a player that you need. Laremy Tunsil is somebody who needs. We know Laremy Tunsil. Well, he'll roll out with a finger.
But the question at that point depends. That goes to me. That one, if a guy is capable of doing that, then you don't need him. But if he can't, you know, he killed three of the first five drives last week. Like, how good does a guy have to be to overcome that? I get the point of he's one of the best pass blocking tackles in the game. I get how good he is at his best. But if this continues to be an issue, and even not at the clip that it was last week, even if it's just a couple of times a game you're killing drives, like, boy, to be untouched, for a tackle to be untouchable, I think more damage could be done by not touching him, by soft shoeing everything.
I don't think
by nobody ever calling him out. Like I'm gonna be honest with you, man.
You gotta call him out, yes.
The way that Laremy Tunsil is handled in the media right now, and not the media, but by the Texans so far, is a joke. Like, it's not just we're too nice down here, man. I mean, this is to for the coach to not address Laremy Tunsil's issues directly, as in, you said it yesterday. Hey, D'Amico, have you talked to him? Have you had a conversation with him?
He knows where to line up. Don't worry about it, Clint.
Yeah, don't worry about it,
bro.
Like, that's the extent of the conversation. I mean, like, I don't know, man. That like, it just, it's wild to me how just, because if I were D'Amico, that's how I would open my presser. Like, my presser yesterday, we would have talked. I wouldn't have given you a chance to answer the question. Hey, guys, I'm going to talk to y'all about these penalties right here. Our goal is to win a Super Bowl. Our goal is every Sunday to go out there and give ourselves a chance. I don't give a damn who the opponent is. And I totally understand, and you better bet your bottom dollar, bet your ass, that we're going to get these penalties fixed. And it starts with our highest paid player. We've had a conversation. He understands how important it is. Instead, you just let all these, like, I heard a story yesterday. I don't even remember who it was. I don't even remember what show I was listening to. Maybe it was TV. I can't remember what the hell I was listening to. But they were talking an old coach or somebody, maybe it was on social media, talking about an old coach basically circling back and talking about Laremy Tunsil. Like, the team had to negotiate with him to get him to practice at times. Not this team, not D'Amico, but in the past, in his career with the Texans.
Which is, like,
in my mind, I'm thinking, like, that's who you're dealing with. Like, it's at some point.
Which leads to the point is you've decided.
Right, you signed up for it.
And you've decided to extend him not once, but twice.
Yes.
And not just you. D'Amico was a part of this when they decided to do this. Now, if he is just being a Richard head and just saying, nah, right, man, I'm going to do, I don't care, I'm just doing it. I don't think Laremy doesn't go out there and not give a damn. I think Laremy wants to win and doesn't like hurting his team. But I'm just saying.
Well, but the question though, Ron, is not. I mean, I think everybody wants to do that. Are you willing to do whatever it takes so that doesn't happen? That's
me,
the question with Laremy.
The thing is, if you are going to, and I know many people are saying bench his ass, and that's cool when you're not have to deal with people. But if you are going to do that, understanding how Laremy Tunsil is, as you just said, you had to negotiate with him to practice. We've watched him sit out an entire season, 8 games, because of a finger. If you know who he is and you're going to take the move of embarrassing Laremy Tunsil and benching him in a Super Bowl-level season to then move Blake Fisher in the lineup and Titus Howard maybe out of position, if you're willing to potentially lose Laremy Tunsil, whether you think he's soft or not, but that is, you embarrass Laremy Tunsil, you think he ain't in now? He damn sure ain't going to be in. You embarrass Laremy Tunsil like that, whether he deserves it or not. I'm just saying, as a coach and a leader, you have to take all of that into account. And if you're going to do it, you better trade him. You better do something.
Look, real talk. The point is, when you pay him that kind of money, when you sign up for it, you know what you're getting. Now it has potentially reached a tipping point where if this continues, forget about how frustrated everybody is. You cannot win. You cannot win with turning third and fours into third and nines. You cannot win with, third and 10, 12-yard completion. No, I'll bring it back. It's third and 15 because your left tackle can't line up right. Like, you cannot win with that. So you're at a tipping point if this continues. You're not there yet because it's early in the season. Everybody can always lean on, it's early in the season. Don't worry about it. Nobody panic. But the reality of it is what we've seen from the Texans offensively. And really, what we let's be honest, this isn't just a Laremy Tunsil problem. He's the biggest part of it. Hell, he's got damn near half the penalties. But if you look at it, this is a Houston Texans problem. So they gotta get better. Would you rather have seen the Texans bench Laremy Tunsil, or would you rather have left him in and seen a couple of more, which is what they did, see a couple of more penalties? 713-572-4610. Keep them coming, Twitch. Keep them coming, YouTube. Before we get out of here real quick, I want to remind everybody, Pitch 25 tomorrow, 2 to 6, live broadcast. Edo, right down there by Minute Maid Park, so the atmosphere is going to be popping. Come on through and see us. It's going to be a good Wednesday afternoon.
Yep. All right, coming up, an update. The latest update on Yordan Alvarez. He actually spoke himself. We'll let you hear the words he had to say coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, let's get to it here. Joe Espada spoke to the media today as they are looking to try to end this thing, to win another division championship with a win tonight against the Mariners. Joe Espada spoke to the media, and still the big news with the Astros is Yordan Alvarez and his knee. He wasn't in the lineup. They announced yesterday that they did x-rays and there was a little bit of swelling there and that he would miss the series against the Mariners, but they did not rule out him not coming back at all before the regular season ends. But this is Joe Espada today, hot off the press, talking about the latest on Yordan Alvarez's knee.
Yeah, that's kind of the same feel I have from him. It's kind of day to day. The inflammation needs to go down. He did say that he's feeling better than he did yesterday. So hopefully we get improvement every day by day. So we'll see. Time will tell. It would be great to have Yordan off the bench. It'd be great to have Yordan in some capacity, but we want him to be able to do that. So we just need to, give him some time and see how he feels the next couple of days.
He said he was feeling a lot better today. Is that encouraging that he is getting better?
Yeah, because that's what, it's going to require for us to get him back on the field. Inflammation, mobility, more also for state of mind, right, that he feels like he can push off, he can do things on a baseball field that he's, that he normally does. So we just got to wait and see.
All right. That was the latest from Joe Espada from the text line, Champ Slice. So a season is over for real. Texans for life. So he's not coming back. LOL.
Well, this is not good.
That's not what Joe said. Yordan Alvarez, according to Chandler Rome, said he's able to put more weight on his leg today, but still isn't able to turn his knee at all. I'd imagine my man's on some sort of assistance, crutches, cane, something.
Don't say that, Ron.
I'm just saying he said he's unable to turn his knee at all. I would think that.
Hold on, Joe.
I mean, can we not all just agree that this sprain, there's just.
I'll continue. He said he hopes to get some at-bats this weekend at Cleveland, but that's contingent on the swelling in his knee. No, we're not going to all agree with you, Clint, that this is not some sort of a diva
thing.
I mean,
you don't think there's a level of softness here?
No, I don't. I don't. I think he... We don't...
We slid into second base for crying
out loud. They did imaging. He has a sprained knee. It's swollen.
Yeah, I played 42 basketball games in high school on a sprained ankle. So what?
If we
had to play a playoff game tomorrow, he'd play.
I don't think he would.
He can't
turn his knee.
I mean, easy there, Dirty. I don't think the Robert E. Lee Ganders were playing at the level Yordan is, man.
He can't turn his knee, he said.
I don't know. You see me going to basketball court, man. I'm a hustler, bro. I go hard now.
Try hard.
I mean, go hard or go home, man. It's my only option. Wasn't talented enough.
That kid's got a lot of hustle.
Yeah, ain't no doubt. Toughest kid on the court, man.
Sneaky fast.
We'll see what happens here, man. They didn't rule it out, but I guess they said he woke up feeling better. I'm just saying, if he said he could put more weight on his leg today, that means he wasn't able to put any on it before. So, I don't know. That is the latest with Yordan Alvarez.
It's not ideal.
They hope to see him back. By the way, also, Chaz McCormick took 30 swings today. I'll be honest.
You'll come at me about white boy Chaz.
I almost forgot all about Chaz and his ability to potentially come back for the postseason. But he took 30 swings, 15 off the tee, and 15 soft toss, and was pain-free. So,
I'll be honest with you. I don't even know what the hell happened to him. What was it?
He has a finger.
I believe it was a small fracture in his finger. Yep.
Yeah. So, again, he'll be fine.
Yeah, he's being a diva too. Damn finger breaks.
No, I mean, look, if you got a little break, like, gripping a bat, and that kind of that's a little difficult with a broken finger. I get it.
Don't do that. Don't stop texting in that Jordan has a torn MCL or an ACL.
What is going on?
Or a split kneecap. Joe's a liar. Stop texting that in, guys. Throw that out there. Hey, and listen, this is my bad, Tyler, because I do. We haven't been able to pass along that Justin Verlander audio because he said something interesting over the weekend. And when you think about the pride of a first ballot Hall of Famer and a first ballot competitor, a guy that, in my belief, is the best pitcher of this generation, better than Kershaw. When you hear Verlander after his last start where he gave up another million runs in four innings, when you hear him say what he said, like, I think it's pretty clear. I don't even know if he's going to be in a piggyback role. I don't even know when you hear him speaking the way he did. Here's Justin Verlander. After his start over the weekend, his place potentially in the playoffs.
It's not my decision, but I was away for 2 months, and all these guys were pitching fantastic. Seen a bunch of guys really come into their own. Look, like I said, I see the calendar. I know what time of year it is. That's why I had to come back and try to find myself. There's only one way to be successful in this game, and as a pitcher, and that's to pitch against the best talent in the world. Sitting there trying to give myself time wasn't possible. I needed to figure out where I was at. It's been hard. It's been a tough lesson. But I don't regret it. I want to show up for these guys. I want to be there. Again, not my decision.
Yeah, when you hear that and you hear him saying that, Clint, I thought you put it perfectly the other day or yesterday. I'm not sure which day it was. Had to have been yesterday if it's Tuesday. He let Joe and Dana off the hook. Right now Joe and Dana can make the decision, which is the obvious decision. And maybe he stays on in the bullpen as a piggyback, but they've clearly made he's taking it off their hands. Because Clint, it could go another way. It could be, no, listen, I want to compete. I still believe in myself. I still believe I can go and I know what I'm capable of. I want to give it's their decision, but I want to. He could have gone that way and put pressure on it, but this way he took him up.
To me, that conversation has to be had around, do you want a spot on the roster, on the playoff roster, right? That's not, do you want one of the three starts in a wild card series, or do you want to be in the four-man rotation as we start the playoffs? No, this has to be, I want to help this team. I want to compete. I want to give you my best. Okay, well, we're going to have to, we got six guys. Somebody's going to slide, two guys are going to slide down into the bullpen and be an emergency type pitcher. And we've seen the Astros in situations where they've gotten to a situation and didn't have another guy or didn't have a guy they could rely on. I would love to be in a desperate spot as an Astros fan and go, well, we can always turn to Verlander. Beats the hell out of turning to somebody that has no business pitching at that point in a series or a game or you know even their best stuff isn't going to work. I mean, if you get into a desperate situation, whether it's a piggyback role or you something happens and you need a starter, I would love for Justin Verlander, even the struggling Justin Verlander that we've seen of late, I would love for that to be your emergency pitcher.
Yeah. Somebody had to come in.
Yeah. So that conversation you're talking about is like I think he took him completely. He took Dana Brown and Joe Espada completely off the hook of having to explain why Justin Verlander, one of the greatest of all time, isn't in the starting rotation in a wild card series or even in the first round of the playoffs moving forward. Like he gave him the leeway that to say, all right, Justin's not going to be this or that. If there's a conversation to be had, it's about one of them long relief rolls out of the bullpen and a roster spot on a playoff roster, not in the starting rotation.
Yeah, I think that time is done with him. But good for him. He let him off the hook, and now they can go ahead and do the thing. That was our baseball talk, which is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro. Coming up, we have been tricked. Lied to, our eyes deceived. Hopefully, it gets better. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, make sure you're with us here. 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the next segment of this show, you will have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see your Houston Texans take on the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up this Sunday on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. The fellows on Payne and Pendergast hooked you up earlier. The guys are on In the Loop. They did as well, but your chance will come in the very next segment, so make sure you're listening. Let everybody know. Don't say you weren't warned. Wait for you to hear me to give you that signal. And then at that time, you can call in. You'll know when it is. You won't mess that up. So those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you might want to get to a phone as well. I see many of you sometimes complain about us not taking care of you all. No, you got a chance to 713-572-4610 when that time comes in the 5 o'clock hour. Have your chance to get a pair of those tickets in a big game. I would imagine the Jags are going to be giving everything they have in that bad boy, because
bring on the
nobody
Jaguars.
Makes the playoffs at 0-4, I don't believe.
Schefter actually just tweeted the last team to make Steelers? The playoffs. What?
Was it the Chargers?
It was the Deshaun Watson-led Texans.
Were they 0-4?
0-3.
Yeah. I think 0-4, I think the Chargers, Stan Humphrey, led Chargers team, made it to the playoffs after starting 0-4.
That was a long time ago.
But yeah, the last 0-3 was a Texans team right here in Houston not too long ago, led by Watson.
There you go, 0-3. And then they went on that 9-game streak, I believe, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And lost to the Colts in the playoffs. That game, for some reason, just wasn't particularly close. What the hell was that about? I just never... Yeah. But 0-4, that Chargers team. Stan Humphries, Natron Means, Mark Say, that was the crew there.
It's Junior, ain't it?
Huh?
Was it Junior?
Junior's on that team, yeah. Yep. Leslie O'Neal on the end. Yeah. Good team. All right, let's get to it here. Man, it feels like the Texans week one was like, you know, that young lady who's got a real good weave in. I mean, a real good weave. Not like the one Pam Oliver has on NFL.
Yeah, Fox. Girl.
Don't know what's happened to her weave. I don't know who's doing that. It's just rough. But a good hair, maybe some extensions, whatever. Good look. Got a bunch of makeup on. You know, got her some nails. Maybe got some veneers in. Just got some eyelashes and everything. And next thing you know, like, you see him, you're like, damn. Look at, feel the name, whatever the name is. Ashley, Jennifer, Madrika, whatever the name is, fill the name in. You know her. And then next thing you know, later on, you see her later on, and her hair's, that weave is out. She got her regular hair in. She ain't got them eyelashes.
You're stupid.
She ain't got no makeup on.
Just like your mom.
She bites her nails. She ain't got no nails.
Mm.
She ain't got that good supporting bra that she had on that one time. And she just looked real different. And you're like, damn, that's not who the hell
she
I
ain't got
thought.
Them Spanx on?
That's not who I saw when I first met you. That's not who
no,
I saw.
Oh, God!
That's what the Texans, I believe, did to us on week one. Week one, boy, that offensive line, man, they tricked the hell out of us. They had a good weave in, mm-hmm. had the good teeth in, got their nails done.
Good teeth.
Good bra, got one of them them Twin Peaks
push-ups.
Lady bras that Aaron Rayburn told us about.
Twin Peak lady bra.
They look it. And then they didn't have that stuff against the Bears. And they didn't have that stuff definitely with the 38 yards they had against the Vikings. This offensive line, Clint, they tricked your ass so much they had you saying, boy, this is a Super Bowl contender. This is what that team looks like. And now, Clint, the last 2 weeks, they've struggled to run the ball and protect. They struggled to protect against the Colts too. But this week, they don't pass protect well. They don't run the ball well. This offensive line, I could argue through the first 3 weeks, was rougher than the ones we saw last year, Clint, and that was without multiple starters and injuries last year. This offensive line, hell, I didn't know who was going to be. I'm surprised it's been this rough, especially the last 2 weeks. They haven't been able to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is – it's turned into what my biggest fear was this team is more of what we saw last year, and they're going to be able to run it against – piss poor run defensive football teams, and then it's going to just completely disappear against above average defensive football teams. It's going to completely disappear. That's what we're staring at right now with the Houston Texans. There's no doubt about it. I thought Shane Steichen and the Indianapolis Colts, I thought their personnel was better than it has been. I thought as a unit they would be significantly better than they have been. And clearly, running the football against them is no feat, right? And it's nowhere near the bar that the Texans need to be running the football at. And yes, they tricked me. That run game that we saw week one with what we've seen C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell and Nico and Dalton Schultz do, that right there is a Super Bowl caliber performance. The problem is it only happens versus non-playoff defenses. It only happens versus defenses that, I mean, that you can just run through. And so hopefully that changes. But right now, that's where we are as a Texans unit right now.
And the part that's really disappointing, fellas, is, and the people you can chime in on this as I see you are on YouTube and Twitch and on the text line, is I thought we could pencil in, all right, I don't know how good they're going to run the football, hopefully with Joe Mixon and another year in the system from Pierce and guys playing in their positions like Titus not playing guard, that they'd be cool. But we thought we could pencil in pass protection. And we thought if we were going to see struggles in pass protection, it would come from the interior young guys.
Yep.
It would come from Juice and it would come from Kenyon Green. I'm not saying they haven't given up any pressures, but it doesn't stick out to me that it's been coming from there, right? A little bit in the Bears game, I would say, but especially in this last game, it was, I think, the poor planning of how they were going to handle protections. But it seems to be coming from the inside, and from the outside, and it is – Jonathan Grenard working Shaq Mason over and blitzes getting there. And like that's the part that's really kind of concerning, is you thought you could at least depend on this group to be able to pass protect. But their pass protecting, you could argue it's been worse than their run blocking this year. Yeah. And that's an argument. Every single game, C.J. Stroud has taken sacks and gotten hit hard.
Well, now like the conversation we're having has shifted, right? Now you turn into how concerned are we that this team offensively isn't who they were last year. Like whether that's, you know, different personnel make for a different dynamic, or defenses have seen Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud now for a year and they've adjusted, or maybe it's the approach of C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick trying to be more aggressive. But either way you slice it, I think for three games now, we've yet to see anything remotely close to what this offense looked like last year. Like the good Texans offense last year was definitely C.J. Stroud driven, and it was effortless at times. It was on time. I mean, it was a well-oiled machine at times. We're three games in, and we ain't seen that once. So when we go from, okay, yeah, we can have a conversation about the run game, but clearly it doesn't look like the run game this year is going to be any better than it was last year, with the exception of, I think, Joe Mixon is going to make a difference once he gets healthy. But the real question is can they still spin it around the park with all these weapons the way that they did last year? Can they get back to that? Or is it the aggressive approach, the dynamic in the wide receiver room? What the hell's going on? The adjustments that defenses have made.
The pass protection was better last year, up to like what we've seen. Like they seemed to have more time to do things last year than he did this year.
Well, I mean, look, when you're getting the ball out quick and on time, and you're focusing on a screen game, you're covering up a lot for what the offensive line is doing. You're getting the ball out before they ever even have a chance to make a mistake, if we're being honest.
And maybe they're thinking that they had the ability to, which I can understand why Bobby Slowick would think we have the ability to have more longer routes.
Well, that was the focus in camp. I mean, that was the next step this offense was going to take. Is that why they're struggling? That's the key. Is that why they're struggling, or is it the adjustments that defense have made? I don't have that answer right now. Yeah. We haven't seen enough football to know, and they haven't been able to protect long enough to allow us to kind of figure out what the plan really is. But that's the bigger, because hell with the run game. At this point in time, I'd be okay with just putting it in CJ's lap and letting him spin it around the park. But can you do that?
Yeah, from the text line, look at the data, but this team didn't score a lot last year. Listen, I don't have the data in front of me. Their passing offense was better than this.
You can't look back. Like, looking back at CJ Stroud's first two ball games as a pro, I think, and comparing them to this year, I think is I mean, there's not a whole lot there for me. Do it if you'd like, but there's not a whole lot there for me. Like, I'm just talking about, forget the box score. Just look at the way that C.J. Stroud played the game last year. When they really took off, when they really spread their wings and took off, it was they're doing things differently because the offensive line is injured. Once those guys got healthy, now they're doing things differently and having to overcome all the receivers being injured. And they were doing it in a much more impressive fashion. I don't care what the box score said then or now. Right now, year two for C.J. Stroud, it just doesn't look – it has not at this point in time looked the same.
Well, clearly it hasn't. All right, 5 o'clock fire coming up. And your chance. I'm telling you, be ready. And make sure you're near a phone. Be ready, because your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Texans take on the Jaguars, you'll have a chance to win those coming up next.